Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
If you enjoy our original content, please consider becoming a supporter on Anchor so that we can continue to bring you laughs every week.
The following program may contain immature situations, themes, and is intended for an adult audience. The opinions expressed here do not necessarily reflect the views of everyone else working on the show. Viewer discretion is advised. Hello, guys. Welcome to the Danny McDermott Show, guys. We're doing it live from Ever Rock Studios. Jesse Shattis is a drummer and also a studio maniac. He's incredible. This is his place, and he is one of the coolest guys I've ever known, and this is his studio. So thank you to Ever Rock Studios. If you guys are in L.A., please check it out. So it's a big day, Kevin, right?
Exciting.
It's very exciting to me. This is the third show in L.A.? Second show in L.A.
Yes, it is. Very exciting.
So we got a lot of special days today. We have Boys Club Day. It's the third. Wait a minute. Why does it say on the third Saturday in September, Kevin?
Because they celebrated then, too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's confusing.
It is.
they celebrate the Boys and Girls Club Day for kids, but apparently girls have been excluded from the name of the day. The club is more progressive than the calendar. Maybe they lost their password to their calendar and they just haven't been able to change it. It's also Emergency Medical Services Day. So if you have a serious medical emergency today, it's your lucky day. Hey, bad luck is good too, right? It's also May Rate. By the way, if anybody has a serious problem, I'm blaming Kevin for that joke. May Ray Day. May Ray, please tell us what the hell this day means. It's a day where everybody goes out and enjoys the rays of sunshine. So it's basically like what, Earth without the cannabis, right, Kevin?
Or anything fun.
Okay, right. And if your name is Ray, it's a chance to lie to your friends and say the day is about you. Interesting side note, the Tonys were originally an award for the coolest person named Tony. A lot of people don't know that. Kevin, your job as a sidekick is to laugh.
The same guy won that one every year.
The dead silence. I feel like I'm dying in front of my sidekick.
See, that's very funny, and I didn't write it, so that kind of thing is going to get a good
It's National Hepatitis Testing Day. Wow. Wow. Most hepatitis gets a B. In this celebration, if you missed out on a serious medical emergency, you can still revel in some luck. It's also National Asian and Pacific Islander HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. Imagine the kind of luck to have HIV/AIDS, but just be outside the area celebrating with a people named Ray. It's, I you know, I'm, it's also, oh, this is a good one. It's National Scooter Day. I don't know if I moved the joke around to, that's my bad, but it's National Scooter Day, a day to celebrate scooters. It really should be the day you clothesline scooters, people scootering on the sidewalk is what it should be. I hate that. They're going like 35 miles per hour on the sidewalk.
That's all right. Testing your reflexes.
Yeah. It's also Turn Beauty Inside Out Day, which is a lot more marketable than its former name, Sexually Impale a Casual Acquaintance Day. It's also World IBD Day, which I hope means Impressive Belly Dance Day.
Me too.
I don't even know. I don't want, you know what? Let's move on to the next one. National Juice Slush Day. This is a holiday that just needs a little rum or tequila. And I'm actually moving to start a snow slush day where you drive close to the curb to try and splash pedestrians. It's also a day to prevent your dog from eating yellow slush. Turns out the dogs prefer tequila as well. So National Employee Health and Fitness Day, anything to take the attention away from a raise, right? Why can't it be National Employee Raise Day? It's like, hey, I'd like a raise. I've worked hard and I've added responsibilities. The boss is like, no, no raise. You can do some squat thrusts though. Speaking of which, we have a fitness coach coming later on, so stay tuned. First, we have an amazing comedian. She is just a wonderful human being. I've done many shows with her. She's been on Netflix, Comedy Central, and other evil empires. Please welcome Bernadette Pauly.
Yay! Thank you, guys.
Yay. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Danny. I love your point about National Fitness at Work Day. Why don't you just give people subsistence wages and let them live a life? But, you know, God forbid we did that.
Right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
We should try everything else first.
Yes, yes. The dog and pony show continues. Do you like my exotic background, by the way? Well, here's the deal. I'm so tired. You can tell so much about a person by the books they pretend to read from their Zoom background.
Right?
And I'm like, you know what? I'm a comedian. I have nothing to lose. I've given up on life. This is my list of things to do, like from a Thursday in 1992. It's not going to happen. And I leave it there just to remember, hey, as my dad would say, every day above ground is a good day. What are you going to do? This, you get what you get. But I love your backgrounds. Very sassy, Kevin. Very sassy. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's in the green screen is kind of falling, and we can see your light behind you.
I know.
It's a rainbow. It's two separate worlds converging in an entertaining way.
Isn't it nice? Yes. Oh my God.
Kevin's in flux in the Matrix right now.
Yeah, he is. Thing. Yeah. I love the show, Danny. It looks beautiful. Yep.
You like the show? It's fun, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
This is my buddy's studio. This is Everrock Studios.
It's gorgeous. Is that in Burbank?
In Mission Hills. Mission Hills.
Oh, okay. Okay. It looks like it's reminding me of a studio I was in, but oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. He designed it himself. It's really amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. So you've done a lot. I mean, when did you start stand-up? You've been doing stand-up a long time now, right?
I started stand-up in 1872. Jesus, I don't know. Before 2000, that's for sure. Like, I think in the late 90s, maybe like 96, 97, something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe 98.
Yeah, I was around that same time. I think I did some in 93, but I don't know if I don't think I got serious about it until the late 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I started earlier. Sometimes I wish I never started, but you know.
I usually wish I never started.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's got a class on breaking into stand-up comedy. It's like, I need to take a class on breaking out of stand-up comedy. But
right?
Things could be worse.
Well, at least you have Al.
I do. I've got the Al, the husband Al, who's also a comedian, and he keeps me out of trouble.
I think it's the reverse, but We'll move on from that.
Thank you. Thank you for that little insight. I do too. I'll agree with you and tell him that.
What I know about Al, I think you're saving his life probably every other day.
Very, very kind of you. Very, very kind of you. So yeah, we're both going to be in Arizona this weekend. We're going to be at Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Glendale.
Okay.
So anybody in the area watching, come see us. We'll do 4 shows. Al's actually stopping in doing some guest spots before he goes to do other shows. Yeah.
Now, what's it like being married to another comic?
Oh, people ask that. We're not competitive with each other, just in case you're wondering. Like, I want what's best for him, and doesn't mean we don't want to kill each other half the time. You know, go on the road or you're in the same business. We share an office. So there's going to be a murder-suicide at some point. It's just going to happen. Sure.
That's healthy personal rage, not professional rage. And frankly, it warms my heart to hear that.
Oh, I'm so glad I could warm up that heart. It's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful.
I always thought if I snapped someday, it's going to be to classical music.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, I always thought, you know what makes me elevator music, which is kind of classical, right? Oftentimes classical.
Well, it's instrumental for sure.
Because it is designed to calm you down, it freaks me out and makes me feel like I could snap or someone's going to snap. So I understand that. I always thought of a serial killer doing his work to like Frosty the Snowman or something like that, like Christmas stuff in the back. But that's just me.
Sounds like a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to write it. You got to write it.
I will. You know, you want to write it for me?
You know what? It's funny because, Carrie Louise might be working on a project. She came on the show a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're talking. We got a Google Doc that we haven't touched in 3 weeks, but we're going to do something eventually.
Well, that's great. And it's funny you mentioned Carrie because a lot of people mix us up. They think I'm her and she's me. And it happens in the industry, but it will happen in the middle of Kentucky. Someone will say, oh, we saw you here last year. We loved your bit on your twins. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Like, it's so weird to us. Yeah, because we're both married to comedians maybe, but she's got twins. Yeah, I have a dog. So, you know.
Is that the dog that terrorized me the last time I was when I did that interview at your place?
Yeah, that's my buddy. My buddy. Buddy has gone to heaven. We will never get over that. We have a pillow of Buddy, but now we have a feral cat that comes in and out of the house. So we're saving another life. He might kill us in our sleep.
Or he might give you some feral diseases.
Yeah, that too.
He's trying to do both.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a comedian. Could it get worse? I'm in green rooms every night of the week. So what's a feral cat bite to me?
Right. One thing I learned as a comedian, never ask that question. Could it get anywhere?
No. That's never so true. That question. No.
Okay. So now I want to talk about, you did Red Eye with Tom Shalhoub.
Oh God. Yeah. I did Red Eye. Yeah. That was lot of fun. I always enjoyed Red Eye.
Yeah. It's funny because Tom was going to get me on that show. And yeah. I think I put some, posts that I don't think Republicans liked at the time.
Yes. Yeah. You're a little lefty like me. I remember you were doing an HBO project and you were over our house and we were talking and we share some lefty ideas veering on conspiracy theories, but just because they're a conspiracy doesn't mean they're not happening. And we bonded over this. And when I think that Fox for a period was putting me on various shows because I'm a bit, more left, abrasive left than liberal. I'm not much of a smooth, warm and fuzzy limousine liberal. That's not me.
Right.
So I think they liked that I could be a little bit reactionary and they would put me on because I would veer off in an offensive direction and they loved that. But then I'd veer off in a socialist communist and they'd be like, no. We want you to go this way. And I was like, no, I kind of go this way. So I feel like I had a nice little run at that network and I kept thinking, why are they having me in? And I think they thought that I would be, you know, how they all have their token lefty who's not really a lefty. You know what I mean? And just like CNN will have the fake right-wing guy, and they're just really saying whatever they get paid to say, let's be honest. I think they thought, oh, this little wacky blonde might be the one. But eventually it was like, could you stop talking a little bit? Could you just, you know what I mean? It was like, we love your opinions. We love your opinions. Come on in, share your opinions. Can you knock that off? We'd rather not hear those opinions. So, yeah, but that was fun. And I believe, did I do the show with Tom Shalhoub? I did it with Greg.
On your IMDb.
It does? Oh, then I must have. I think we were both guests. We were both guests when Greg was hosting, because now Greg is doing a different show. It's the Greg Gutfeld show. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I think maybe I had it when Tom was a host as well. I don't remember. There was over a span of years there.
Yeah, Tom never got me on the show. I didn't know why. I don't consider myself Democrat or Republican. We don't really do politics on the show. I wanted it to be an escape from politics for people. So I just noticed that you did that. And I love Tom.
I love Tom too. I love Tom.
He's such a great guy.
He really is.
Yeah.
I hope I get to see him around soon.
Yeah, where is he? He's in New York. He's probably doing the New York clubs, right? Or is he on the road?
I think he's in New York right now, primarily, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Gotham Live.
Oh, Gotham Live was a lot of fun. I did that. We had a great episode. Al was on it with me, and you can't go wrong on that show.
It's always an amazing audience, it seems like, for that show.
Yeah, it's an amazing audience. They're not fake and, fluffed up, but they're just real. I don't know who they're getting in, but they're real comedy fans, people who are really there for stand-up comedy and a good time, which is always fun. And it's always a very mixed show, which I love a mixed show, a little bit of everybody.
Now, and you've done some, I didn't realize you did some... you've been doing some acting,
porn,
shorts and stuff. Yeah.
Who hasn't?
I know, right? Just looking for my next gig.
Thanks for that visual, Kevin, in my head. Thank you.
That's actually fetish number 384 on the menu. Maybe you ladies want to save time.
I love it. I love it.
Now, you it looks like you were shooting some video shorts where you... were those, you got cast in those, or you and Al produce stuff together at all?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of crazy little stuff. I've done other people's projects. I've done great projects that I love. I've done a lot of crap that you just do it for the paycheck. And Al and I have been doing some stuff. We shot a 3-minute Western out in the desert. We went to Joshua Tree last month. He's a big Western fan. Beautiful, beautiful backdrop. Just a funny little shootout scene that was ridiculous.
I saw that actually.
Yeah.
Did you put that up? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I had a gun holster. We both had the total garb, and my gun holster had tampons in it, and his head. It was ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous, but it was very, I got a lot of comments on the tampons. Apparently it went over big with men and women alike.
Somebody won't let you out.
No. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was fun. We do our characters. I like that. I like being able to create my own stuff now. It's much better for me than like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when you wait around for people's to put you in their stuff. And I've done a couple of great creative projects that were other people's that were awesome too. You know how it is. You just go from project to project, and some are just much more fun than others.
Now, do you find that COVID and all the quarantine and all that kind of stuff has actually pushed you to be more creative and create your own work? I know a lot of people have done that. That's why the show came about, to be honest with you.
Really? I think that's wonderful. I do. This is the feral cat's tail, by the way. Nothing crazy is going on.
Why'd you cut off the tail?
You can't prove that.
I do think that COVID actually made people go create their own thing. And, you've got to keep going. You've got to keep expressing yourself. And I think some really great stuff has come out of it, this show being one of them.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what happened? Were you back up against the wall and you just said, God, I can't do this anymore. I've got it.
Yeah. I need to do it. So what happened originally was I started shooting these shorts about a guy in quarantine who started developing split personalities because he was alone for so long. And the personalities didn't get along with each other, or they all wanted to do different things, and he just couldn't never get anything done.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's called Living in Corona. I've got to do some more episodes of it, to be honest with you. It's just been crazy. But what happened was someone saw that. A lot of people saw that and loved it. And one person pushed me, you got to do your own show. And so I started doing the show, and this is episode 36, I think.
Yeah. And you and Kevin hooked up for.
Well, Kevin, you know. No, we never had sex. Kevin no. and I.
You can't do that either, Danny.
I've known Kevin forever. And I just, it was funny when I was trying to figure out who I wanted for a sidekick. He was really the top of the list. He was the first person I thought of. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And it worked out. Cool.
Into desperation mode.
Into what mode?
Into desperation mode.
Yeah. Hey, I like that. Would you be my partner in desperation mode?
Yep. Sure. Yep.
It's the end of the world. Be my co-host for the end of the world.
I just got my second vaccine, by the way. Did you get a vaccine or no?
I did. What'd you get?
I got the Pfizer.
I got Moderna.
Did you get sick?
The second shot, my arm was a little sore. I went to bed that day after the second one. And the middle of the night, I woke up with chills and such a fever. And for 24 hours, I felt like a truck ran me over. Every millimeter of my body was achy. I felt like Mike Tyson threw me down the stairs. And the chills would not stop, the fever, shaking. And then the next day, I woke up fresh as a daisy. Like, so it came and left. It was not fun. How about you?
I had nothing.
Good.
The first shot, I think I was a little achy and tired, but it was only, I mean, it wasn't that bad. And it was only for a few hours. And then the second shot I just got yesterday at 3 o'clock and nothing yet. So I think I'm.
Good. I think you're in the clear. I think so.
I hope so. I don't want to say that and then have God, you know, see, this is the thing a comedian should never say because God's like,
I know. Kevin, did you get yours?
I did. I got vaccinated actually at Citi Field. And the only side effect I had was I was eliminated from winning the National League East this year.
Oh my God. That's tragic.
That's how it goes.
I'm so, are you going to get therapy for that?
I don't know if they have any. Maybe find a reliever in the off season or something like that.
So, have you done the Zoom shows at all?
I did a million of them. I usually make fun of my backdrop. That's why I left it like this for you.
That's amazing. You did a lot of them, huh?
At first, I didn't want, you know, I wasn't into them. And a few of them, you know, they can be very tedious. But they became their own kind of art. If people keep them short and sweet and they're produced well, I think they can go over well. And I think they might be here to stay now because of that. How about you? Not to the extent that they are, but yeah.
I actually think that they probably will, and they'll probably serve as a little appetizer for people to come and see what you actually do. And I think they have a place.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are some people, you know, certain comics have said, I keep a mic stand in the living room. Some people are very animated. I've seen a couple of people that have really been hitting it hard with the Zoom shows.
Really?
Like you can't just sit back, you know, it's like anything. It is what it is and it can suck, but you've got to go with it. And I know a few people that are kind of like, I've seen Jackie Fabulous do a few and she kind of just sits. She's in the moment and she does this storytelling, you know, she's really turned it into its own thing, you know, being kind of true to herself. Without the need to have the mic stand and all. And then some people do have the mic stand and I've done a little bit of both. I get a little bit animated. Like right now, this is a talk show. I'm not being as obnoxious as I could be, but I've seen some people command them pretty well. And I've seen some great comedians that we know are really, really good. And they just kind of they sit, you know, it's they're
hard,
just like,
it's a hard thing to do. You got no audience. So, I mean, I've done it. I resisted it. I just, for me, it's like an open mic, you know,
yes.
You know, a bad open mic, you know what I mean? So I resisted it.
I did too for a while. Yeah. I'm not going to say didn't see some terrible ones. So that's why there were months when I just wouldn't do them. But did you ever end up seeing some that were, you know, had redeeming qualities that got a little bit progressively better?
I mean, I the ones I've done, I did one. I don't know. Were you involved with the one that they were trying to do the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest Zoom comedy show?
Yes. Now, see, yeah, I was.
I did that one too.
So I thought that was great because I thought it was going to be, it could have been a stick in the mud comedy, you know, but it was all green room riffing. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
If someone wants to step into a green room and eavesdrop at broken, damaged comedians making fun of each other.
I think that's the way to go rather than trying to do stand up.
Yes.
That's the way I like to do it. My last.
Yeah. Some
did do stand up, but, I was just pretending I was talking to the four guys on the screen, and it went well. I actually enjoyed it, and I was happy with the results. So, but I like riffing better. You know what I mean? I enjoy it better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? You might as well pretend you're just talking to four guys on the screen. It's like if you're doing late night in a club and there's four people in the audience, you're not going to pretend you're playing to a packed room. You've got to address these four people in the audience. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. And I kind of like the idea, like this show where you get to, you know, talk, you know, if you're doing jokes, have the other comedians just throw in a line or a punchline if they want, or jump in and talk, break it up. You know, I don't mind that stuff. I like that stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, me too. And I actually did write a few, like I've got the feral cat here and he interrupted a show once and it actually kind of jump-started me a little. I've got all my notebooks here. Sometimes I'll put notes up on the screen. And I wrote a few bits, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would. Like, you know, how you're doing shows around town and new bits come to you or you add to them as you go from show to show. Like, that actually kind of started happening a little bit here in this crazy little office of mine. And I thought, interesting. Because you got to open up the floodgates. It's got to come out of you somehow. So
what's going on? What's going on with the future for you? What's happening? What are you working on?
I ask myself that every day, Danny. Every day. I want to do something like this. I've been saying it for over a year. I've been doing a little bit of booking and producing on the side. I don't know. I just keep going. I don't know. I'm just going to keep going. I've got to do what makes me happy. I don't know. I think that this pandemic, I hope, will make some people have become in tune with what's really important, right? And I think people are tired of, can I say bullshit?
Yeah, I hope so.
I think people are tired of that both politically and in Hollywood and like with the lie. So, I just got to keep going. That's where I think Zoom is empowering. You can start to reach your own audience in social media. It's got bad sides, of course, but that's pretty cool. And I think more and more people across the boards, all different types of people, all different ages, are happy to seek out and find something that's a little bit more authentic, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It could be a cooking show. It can be talking. It can be, you know, and fashion, but just something that's not just so spoon-fed to us by a bunch of PR people telling you that this is legit. And you're like, well, that's fine. Leave that to the networks. I'm going to go look at my rinky-dink YouTube channel that has 400 followers because I love this guy. Like, I love candles. He's the candle. I want to watch him. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be, you know. Or even if you want to talk about Hollywood or art or entertainment, but in a more authentic way, I think people are craving that and being stuck at home, not knowing what's happening in the world. Economic disparity is glaringly obvious.
Right.
I mean, just look at the, you know.
Well.
Everything.
Yeah.
Protests, killing everything. So,
but I think I'm trying. You know, I always try to look at the good things that are coming out of it, and I'm hoping that a lot of good has come out of it. A lot of bad has, obviously, but I think we're headed more in the right direction now. So,
do you see?
Like you people want more stuff.
Yeah, and I think they're not going to tolerate.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, that's you. You're a little frozen.
All right. I think while he's frozen, where can people find you? Where's the best place for the people to interact with you?
Thank you, Kevin. I have a lot of people on Facebook for some reason. I know Facebook isn't like the cool trendy thing, but most of my interactions on Facebook, a lot of Facebook people are the ones that come out to see me. So it's Bernadette Pauly. Easy. I don't really deal with my comedy page. You can just follow along with my shenanigans. On Instagram, I'm the Bernadette Pauly because somebody took my name, I guess. And on Twitter, I'm at Bernie Pauly, BERNIEPAULEY. And always hit me up. I try to give people comps and discounts if they come out to shows for the second time and blah, blah, blah.
All right. Yeah. There you have it. So that's how people can stay in touch with you.
Yeah.
I think I heard someone else pop into the studio. There's Danny. I know you do have to go, Bernadette, so thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, I've got to run. I've got to go do a show at a golf club of all places, but I so appreciate you guys. Mwah.
Thank you and have a great night.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Very nice. All right.
That wasn't...
Okay. Welcome back, Danny.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me bring you back up to speed. You can find Bernadette on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Twitter's at Bernie Pauly. Here you are, and let's resume the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin was hanging on to that hosting a little bit longer there.
This week, I figure, what the hell?
What the hell? Why not? No, I love Kevin. All right, so now let's do this segment. Or should we do it with, we should do it with our guest. Let's bring our guest on. Our next guest is our favorite fitness coach. She has been on here before, and she's going to be on again. Please welcome Amy Zeal.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good.
Yeah, excellent. Did you see the jokes about the National Health and or what
National
was it?
Employee Fitness Day,
yes,
or something to that nature. So I don't really know what that means. I don't know if most companies have. I mean, you know, you guys were talking about a lot of things about, you know, how the pandemic brought out the creative side in you. And actually, that's why I started doing the fitness coaching, because my job that I have done for the past 10 years was shut down. So I don't even know if you know this about me, and I usually don't talk about this, but I work at Coyote Ugly. Have you ever heard of Coyote Ugly?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I've worked there for 10 years, and it's part of MGM. It's at New York Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. And we actually have an in-house company personal trainer who I go to, and she has actually helped me win fitness competitions. So there is such a thing as having an employee fitness day, I guess. I mean, and I also just didn't realize that one day would be, you know, dedicated to so many different things. Like, it's like, it was National Fitness Day, I know it wasn't IBS day, it was IBD day, but I'm thinking IBS. My mom has IBS. I feel so bad. And that's what I started thinking about. I was like, oh my God, there's a day for everything.
There is. There really is.
Yeah.
So we have a funny segment we want to do with you here. And we do this with guests sometimes. And it has to do with unfortunate names.
Unfortunate names. Okay.
Yes. The segment is called
Unfortunate Names.
I can't even imagine what next.
I found a free clip of a guy crying in the rain, and I just figured it was perfect for the unfortunate names. So these are actual names that we've come across that were like, what were the parents thinking?
Right.
All right. All right. First one. Fabio Madonna.
Fabio Madonna. Okay.
Definitely born in the 80s, mid 80s, 85, I'm guessing.
Right.
I mean, they couldn't decide who their favorite celebrity was, so they just chose both of them.
Can you imagine having this? I'm Fabio Madonna. I mean,
is that Italian? I mean, I hope he's Italian.
Rolling around on the cover of a romance novel.
I just picture the couple like being like, you know, I didn't want this kid either. I don't want him. Well, you name him. I don't care. You know what? Fabio Madonna. It's fine. It's whatever. We don't want you, but so we're gonna make your life miserable. That's the only thing I can think of. All right, next one. Now this is a first name, Arash. It's like, hey, nice to meet you. My name is Arash. I'm like, no, thank you. I'm not shaking your hand. Sorry.
You need a cream for that.
How many times do you think they said I'm itching to change my name?
Beautiful. Next one. Connie Butt. Who, if you got a last name Butt, I mean, I thought that was just a Simpsons prank phone call thing, you know?
I mean, Connie Butt what? Like,
right. I mean, that's just unfortunate. It's not even funny. It's just unfortunate.
Or is she a smoker? You know, like maybe are these names like that people were given, or were these like nicknames that they were given after they created their persona?
These were legit names.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell you how I came across them.
The phone book.
But they're real. People don't have phone books anymore, Kevin.
I know.
They were on the list to see you at your comedy club. They were on the list.
Right. There you go. Next one. Miney Sneed. Sounds like a villain from Hanna-Barbera.
I think, you know, of Lemony Snicket. What is Lemony Snicket from?
That's, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what that's from, though.
A movie or a play?
Or like Dr. Seuss. That's like a Dr. Seuss name. Oh, Miney, it's a book.
Miney Sneed. That was a real name, though. What's your name, Miney? Where's Eenie? Meanie.
Miney Sneed has a
pimp
name. There you go.
That actually does make sense. Next one. Cherry Peacock.
Cherry Peacock. That sounds like a stripper name.
It really does.
That's a stripper name.
She comes out with like a cherry colored peacock plume behind her.
With feathers, you know, she's got the feathers going on.
They cannot fly. Those birds cannot really fly. They can barely fly. My parents' house
can't fly either, right?
My what?
Flamingos?
Oh, they fly, I think. Don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, a flock of flamingos flying. That's, you know, I've seen that before.
Or what's the other one? I'm thinking of an ostrich.
That would be scary if they could fly.
They're flightless. Can you imagine? Some birds like turkeys and whatnot don't really fly, but they can kind of coast downhill.
They glide.
I saw a peacock at my parents' place, and it got scared and it flew up, and it's so awkward. And he like bounced against the roof like twice before he flew up on the. It was pretty hysterical.
I'm from Jersey, and my parents have turkeys, like herds. I know they're not called herds. Maybe they're flocks, but they have flocks of turkeys that like wander through the yard and on the street. And it's just crazy. Like deer, turkey, possums, raccoons, chipmunks, squirrels. Yep.
There was a flock of turkeys attacking people in a town once. I remember
geese attack. I've been attacked by geese before.
Oh yeah, but I know. But I've seen turkeys were like attacking the cars and stuff. It was weird.
Every large bird has the potential to be an asshole.
Don't piss a big bird off.
All right, next one. Harry Parent.
Harry.
Yeah.
Why don't you just call yourself Bigfoot?
I don't know, man.
That's a real name, Harry Parent.
Harry Parent.
I'm thinking of Heir Apparent. Heir Apparent. Heir Apparent.
Like a werewolf.
I just think of like waxing needs to happen like everywhere.
All right, next one. Stale. The new generation of rapper. The new generation rapper. Stale. That's
a great rapper name, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody came out with it.
It's funny. It'd be fertile.
I mean, isn't there a rapper called Girl or something, or She or something like that?
Probably.
I mean, it is until they decide that it's PC or un-PC, and then she can't use that name anymore, and then she has to change her name.
Right, right. Isn't that your rapper name, Kevin?
It is. Dale.
It? Him? Can't use him anymore.
All right, next one. This one's funny as hell. This one's funny. Fuck damn.
Fuck damn!
That's like a guy with a lisp. Fuck damn.
I think of that song. Don't believe me, just watch. Woo!
And the final one. Barry Belcher.
Barry Belcher. What a name.
Two in the morning in the bar. You know what he's doing.
Drinking a lot of beer.
And belching the alphabet.
Can you belch on cue?
No. Danny, can you? You're muted, Danny. Danny does not wish to participate in this conversation any longer.
He's like, it's my show. I'm going to just peace on out.
Well, here's something. Something's going off on my computer. This is the problem. Hold on. It's got to be a YouTube thing. I'm closing everything. You guys talk for a second while I try to stop this.
Windows open. See, that's my problem. I have like 5 million windows open. And it supposedly slows your computer down, but it's a habit I can't break because like if I'm open in like 10 different, I work on 10 different things at the same time. You know what I mean? I'm a multitasker. So
ADHD, I have it too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and then like I'll open like this window and that window and that window and that window because I have to go back to it. And if I don't get back to it today, I'll want to go back to it tomorrow, but I might forget. So I leave it open. And then what happens is when you have way too many ones open, you get a crash. And then I forget all the windows I had open, and then I have to start over from the beginning. So
this has been a technological disaster, this show so far. But that was actually the Tony Robbins 5-day challenge thing that I was.
The Own Your Future challenge?
Yes.
Were you doing it? I'm doing KK's Unleash Her Power Within right now. Do you know who KK is?
I don't, but I know at the end of this episode, Danny is going to walk on coals for us.
Have you ever gone to UPW? I've walked on coals before.
Danny's going to walk on hot coals for us.
Yeah. Tonight,
live on this.
Yeah, right.
You have to say cool moss, cool moss, cool moss, and you walk across the coals.
Cool moss.
You say cool moss, and it's not cool. It's very hot, and it singes the bottoms of your feet, but it's still cool. It's a cool experience. But yeah, so KK is one of his speakers, and she does like, she opens for him, and she opens for his Unleash the Power Within, and she created an 8-week program called Unleash Her Power Within. So I signed up for it, and we're in week like 6, I think, or next week is week 6. And she takes us through this workbook, and we're preparing actually for Tony's Unleash the Power Within program, which is in like 2 weeks, his virtual program, which I didn't know this at the time, but we're doing the European Unleash the Power Within. So it starts my time at 3 a.m. in the morning.
And so I don't really know how
I'm going to do that.
I wouldn't want to be at the European one.
Tony is very like all organic, like all, you know, he doesn't promote health. Lemon juice, you could put lemon juice under your armpit. So we're actually KK, she promoted, like, I'm one of those people where when I follow somebody and they promote something, I'll go buy it just because they like were talking about it. So she has this special deodorant called Auxilius. It's actually pretty good, and it doesn't have the aluminum in it. Aluminum is the harmful ingredient in deodorants that causes cancer. So you want to get non-aluminum, all organic deodorants. So, and it actually works pretty well. You know, I mean, I still like my regular stuff, but like I'll be sitting there in the bathroom and I'm like, do I want to be healthy or not healthy? Healthy or not healthy? Smell good, smell okay. So, you know, I reach for the Auxilius and it works pretty good.
Yeah. So wait a minute.
Aluminum
you said
causes cancer and makes French fries soggy.
What, people actually use lemon juice though?
Yeah, lemon juice. Like you put lemon. I mean, you have to be clean and fresh and have not used any deodorant under there. But lemon juice is supposed to be a natural deodorant antifungal that you can put under your arms and it will kill bacteria. It also really honestly depends what you eat. You know, like if you eat a lot of garlicky things, or another one is, what is that? That Indian curry. If you eat curry, if you eat garlic, it comes out of your pores, even certain meats and stuff, you know? So you really want to stay hydrated. Fung Greek makes you smell like syrup. I don't know what Fung Greek is, but drinking a lot of water, staying hydrated, taking a lot of showers, you know, really, really helps the BO. But eating what you eat too makes a difference.
Now, what advice would you give to people who are still afraid to go out and still afraid to do anything as far as fitness? How can they keep themselves in shape?
I mean, like, you know, I had to really improvise, and what I did, you know, during the pandemic, I mean, I had a personal trainer, like I would work with 2 times a week and we did FaceTime. So, you know, and I ordered dumbbells. I have like 2 pounders, 3 pounders, 5 pounders, 8 pounders, 12 pounders. Now I have the resistance bands that you put in the door, you lock them in the door, and then you can like do resistance. I bought ankle weights. I've got 2 pounders, 5 pounders. I bought a Bosu ball. I have bands, you know, like the stretchy bands you put on your legs and on your arms, and you do resistance. There's a lot of things, like, and to be really honest with you, like, I don't know when it was. It was a couple months ago. And in my complex, we have a really nice private, and I knew this was going to happen, but you know, one day I just got sick of it. You know, I went to the gym and there was a man there and he was on the cardio machine. This is before we knew what we know now. This is when it was like, you have to wear a mask. If you're not wearing a mask, you're going to die. That was this time period.
Right, and
you had to wear a mask to be at the gym. And I'm like, if I have to wear a mask, everybody else needs to wear a mask. And this guy was on a cardio machine, not wearing a mask. So I politely asked him, I said, hey, can you please put your mask on? Like, we're supposed to have our mask on. And we got into the biggest fight. Like this, it was really bad. And I haven't really been back to the gym since then because I'm like, I've gone back, but you know, it was a really uncomfortable situation. I just work out at home a lot still, you know, like my gym is probably 20 minutes away and I still don't know what their sanitation habits are and what their protocols and procedures are. So, but there is honestly so much you can do at home. There really is. Like
there's tons of YouTube videos too with,
there's Zoom classes. There's so many Zoom classes. There's free stuff online. You know, like I have my fitness radio app. It's this awesome app. I mean, I pay for it, but they have the best music. You put the music on and you just start moving. You know, I mean, I actually injured myself a couple weeks ago. I fell and I sprained my foot. So I wasn't able to walk for a couple weeks. So I've just been doing like upper body stuff, you know, like can't do lower body, you do upper body, you know, you move it around, you know, you reduce your calories. I've been into the lemon juice and water in the morning, then celery juice. And then I don't know if you know who Joseph McClendon is. He's like one of Tony Robbins' speakers. He was talking about banana tea. So I tried it. I've had it a couple of days and it makes you feel good. You chop up some bananas, you boil it, and you add a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of honey. And it's supposed to boost your mood. It has potassium in it. It has nutrients and vitamins in it. And it makes you feel really good. I just add matcha green tea to it because I need the caffeine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But it's great. It's great. It's those good extra little things. It's the little things you do during the day. You don't have to make big changes. It's the little changes. And if you could keep up with the little changes, you'll start to see, you know, changes and differences in your daily and then your weekly.
Okay. All right. Now you've done a lot of competitions.
Yeah, I've done like 7.
And take us through how one, like, when do you start getting ready? And just take us through the process a little bit, just so people can understand. I don't know if anybody out there wants to do this, Kevin, but no.
I'm in.
I didn't realize this. My battery is going to die in a second. I need to plug my charger in. Can I have a minute?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
It's a good analogy.
It's fine. Everybody needs to recharge their battery.
Right?
Mentally, psychologically, or in this case, on the computer itself.
On the way over here, by the way, Kevin, we were getting into Craig's car, and there was a bird in the car.
Nice.
The bird flew in the car. So at the mansion, I'm staying at John Lennon's old mansion, and the doors are open most of the time because there's nobody up there. Nobody's going to come in. You know what I mean? So the front door, you know, I shouldn't be saying this on the air.
Yeah, I would not allow a door to be open.
I'm loving it tonight.
Because where there aren't people, there are mountain lions, there are bears, and you don't want anything coming in. Lock the damn door.
Well, the birds were coming in.
That's what I'm saying.
Trying to find the crumbs on the floor. They were so cute. But the crazy thing was, one of the birds came in, right? And I happened to come out right behind him, so he couldn't go back out that way. But so he's hopping into the living room, and I'm like, oh no, what's going on? I look, he knew how to get out the other way. He knew. It was like they know the whole house.
They've been there longer than you.
Yeah, I think they have. I think they do it all the time. It's crazy. Anyway, I should have brought that up when we talked about her feral cat.
Too little, too late.
I have two cats that I feed that come to, I thought they were feral. Like, well, I had this cat came running up to me one day. I'm like, oh my God, this cute little kitty. And then another one comes running up. So I'm like, oh, so I started feeding them. And they would come up to my house and I would feed them cat food. And I'm like, well, I have two cats. So I had to buy special food for these cats because my cats have this expensive prescription food. And
right.
You know, so, and then I saw this guy walking by one day. He's like, oh, he's like, you feed them too. And I'm like, oh, you feed them too. He's like, oh, yeah, I feed them too. And then I had another guy who was walking a dog. He's like, you feed them. I'm like, yeah, I feed them. And he's like, they actually belong. I'm like, they're feral, aren't they? He's like, no. He's like, they belong to those two houses over there. So they have a home. But I mean, these cats are very well taken care of.
Well, the owners are probably sitting there going, why does he keep getting fat?
They're not that fat.
On the food. I'm cutting down on the food.
I have a chonky cat. They're called Chonky, Chonky. If you're a cat lover, you're probably a member of one of these private cat Facebook pages, which I am. And they're called Chonky Cats. And people, when you sign into these private Facebook pages, they tell you there's no fat shaming. So
I really don't think cats care. I really don't.
You know, and so people post pictures and videos of their super fat cats, and I just love it. I just eat it up. But they're called Chonks. They're Chonky. So
it sounds like an Elton John song. I think Danny is frozen.
Yes.
So you got cat hustlers in the neighborhood that they got a little route and they know who feeds them and who
doesn't. Right,
he was a feral barn cat that stowed away in my husband's RV.
No way. Are you
from
serious?
Colorado? Yeah. And so now we have this giant guy.
what is your Chonk's name?
His name is Morris.
That is a Morris. That is definitely a Morris.
An old school cat name.
And then, very happy, very well fed cat. You know, like
this one was a feral cat from Gallup.
Oh, I have a black one too. I don't know where he is, but my door is shut right now.
Aren't the black ones the best cats?
I have Sugar and Spice.
So sweet.
So, you know, and mine were feral. I was actually, this is back when I lived in West Hollywood. I was shopping at the dollar store and there was a lady pushing around a carriage and she had two like little baby kittens in her car. And I'm like, lady, what aisle did you get those in? And she's like, this woman is going to take these kittens to the pound tomorrow. I'm like, oh no, she's not. And I'm like, give me her number. And I was literally I didn't know where I was going. I was just driving somewhere. So this lady called me to like this house to go pick these cats up. And I just remembered like pulling up to this really rundown section of LA. And it had like this van in the front. And I'm like, I'm going to get kidnapped. Like, I was sure of it. And I went up and I like rang the bell. Nobody answered. And then this lady came walking around the back with this box. And I looked in the box and there were all these little kittens. And I'm like, oh my God. And like two just kind of jumped out at me. So I just kind of took them home. You know what I mean? I mean, they were 4 weeks old. They were so little and they were sick too. And I knew like they would either die or the lady was going to take them to the pound. So I rescued them and I've had them for like 13 years.
Good person.
Very nice. Have they been on prescription cat food the whole time?
No, sugar has issues. He was actually just diagnosed with kidney disease. Mm-hmm. So we have to do like the whole subcutaneous fluid needle thing on a daily and, you know, but he's doing okay. He's doing good, but he has to be on special food and supplements. And, you know, when I go away, I have to take them to the vet. It's a whole, but it's worth it. I mean, they're my little babies.
So. I had a cat named Misty and Misty. I named her Misty. She was beautiful, but she was fat. Okay.
Chonky.
She was just a big, big cat. And she was the biggest coward. Like one day she came running by me and she's chasing this squirrel, right? And her blubber's going, bruh, bruh, bruh.
I bet that you was know, really funny.
See it just chasing the squirrel. All of a sudden you hear, meow! And she comes running back and two squirrels are chasing her. She only chased things that were running from her already. You know what I mean? She never really stood up to anything.
Yeah.
I was shooting my BB gun in the backyard and my father was chipping, had a wood chipper and a skunk had ran out of the wood and he's running right at me. And I've got this gun, but I'm like frozen. I'm like, ah, you know what I mean?
Are you?
And I looked at, and the skunk literally runs right over my foot. Now my cat's right next to me. He runs right over my foot and around the fence. I look down. She's like twice as fat because all her fur's like, whew, like that. Like she's like this, you know? And, as soon as the skunk ran around, she goes, wait a minute. He's running. And she ran after him. I was like, don't. I was like, I thought for sure she was going to get sprayed.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so sorry about the glitches, but we were talking about the competitions.
Competition. You were asking me about prep and procedure. So
real quick,
Yeah. So it's basically, it's 4 to 5 months away from the competition is when you start and you work out, you start 3, 4, 5 days a week. You do weights, you do cardio. You clean your diet up. You're eating a high amounts of protein, moderate amounts of fat, moderate amounts of carbohydrates, depending what phase you're in. If you have to build muscle, your carbs are a little higher. And when you get closer to the competition, you drop your carbs. You have to get 8 hours of sleep. You have to take a ton of supplements. When you're getting closer to the competition, you start working out 6 days a week. That's probably maybe like 2 months out. You have to practice your posing. I didn't know that you had to practice walking and posing my first couple competitions, but you have to practice everything. You're like how you look in the mirror, how you stand, you know, like
That's so that the judges can see the muscles at the right angles and stuff.
Like when you turn around, you literally have to bend over and stick your butt out and arch your back so they can see your like
glutes.
If you don't do that, your butt kind of, it looks saggy. You have to stick it out, you know? And I didn't know this the first couple competitions. So I wasn't, and like, I didn't have a coach the first couple competitions. Like I would literally do my competition and then be done and kind of like hit a coach or somebody on the sideline and be like, did you see me? Like, can you tell me what I'm doing wrong? You know, like, and like, if people were nice enough, they'd be like, well, this is wrong and this is wrong and your bikini's off and the strings are wrong and your hair wasn't right and your makeup wasn't right. And, oh, okay. I didn't know all these things, you know? So each time I got a little better and better, but I never really had like a coach. I would just kind of ask people and ask questions, you know, and just kind of figure it out, you know, like,
was, okay. was it a little bit competitive? Like,
one of the first comp, I was turned off. One of the first competitions I did as to how competitive and psycho the mindset of some of these women are, because you have to understand when you get to competition time, you're depleted on food, you're depleted on water, you're depleted on nutrients. Your brain is not functioning properly. It's just not.
Right.
Like I clearly remember before one competition, like sitting on, this is when I lived in Hollywood. I wasn't making any money. And it's very expensive to compete. Like, unless you have a sponsor sponsoring you, it's a lot of money. And I just remember sitting on the stairs of the Crunch gym, hysterically crying. And I was like, over the fact that I had like 5 grams of sugar and I was in a place where I couldn't even pay my rent. And I'm like, I'm crying over the fact that I had 5 grams of sugar and I should be crying that I can't pay my rent right now. I'm like, right. Something really wrong right now. You know, like my priorities were really messed up. But you know, when you want something, you want something, and you're going to prioritize according to what you want, you know. So
some of the women, I mean, they must not have wanted to help you when you asked questions, right? That must have been like a,
well, it was, I wasn't directly asking other competitors. I was like, I had a coach come up to me, you know, who was nice enough to kind of be like, hey, do you want to know what you did wrong? This is what you did. Or maybe I asked her, it wasn't somebody who was competing. It was somebody who was helping somebody else. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to have some kind-hearted people give me some advice and tips and tricks here and there. If you're going to be in a competition with like 100 people, there's going to be one or two good people there that are going to be nice to be like, hey, you know, way to go, nice job. I mean, I'm that person, you know, way to go, nice job, you know, here, but you know, it really depends. Like, girls can get really catty, to be honest.
Anytime there's a competition, there can be a toxic element, you know.
You should have the competitive edge, you know. Like the year before I won my competition, I came in like 19th, and I was just like, what am I even doing, like, showing up to this if I'm not even going to try? You know what I mean? Like, girls here are taking this seriously. Like, yeah. You should, there's something about your peer group that you should rise to the level of the peer group you're surrounding yourself with. Like, and if you're not going to rise to that level, why bother even doing it? So, right. You know, that was like something I really had to think about, you know, before I decided to do it again.
But you did well on some of the competitions.
I won a world competition.
That's,
you know,
amazing. A world competition?
I was going for top three, to be honest. Okay. Because I was trying to beat my best. My best was like, I had 7th, I had 14th, I had 19th, I had 4th, you know. So I'm like, what's better than 4th? Top three. You know, so I went for top three and I happened to win, which was awesome. Like, it was a great surprise. Yeah. Like, it was, and really what I was doing, I was working with a coach at the time. He was a business coach, and it was to enhance my credibility as a fitness coach. So I had some type of weight under my credits. So if I'm coaching you and you know that I won a world competition, I practice what I preach. So you're going to listen to what I tell you to do. But yeah, not everybody does, you know, like some people do, some people don't, you know, it depends on the person and the personality and how much you want something and how much you're going to pay for it. You know, like a lot of things that people don't really understand in the whole coaching world is what you get out of it is what you put into it, you know, and part of that process is if you want a really good coaches cost money. And that's something that I have paid for myself. I've done a lot of Tony Robbins. Like, I've done all of his programs. I've done Business Mastery. I've done Date with Destiny. I've done Unleash the Power Within. I mean, I've done them all. And those are not cheap, you know?
No, they're not.
I've invested in myself. So, you know, there are people out there who are willing to put the time and effort and energy into bettering themselves. So you really want to be around other people or coaching other people. It's easier to coach somebody who has that type of mindset.
Sure.
Want it, you know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
How can somebody reach out to you for coaching?
They can go to my Instagram at Amy Zeal Amy_Zeal. That's the best way to reach me. There it is. There it is. Instagram. And you can reach out to me. I do fitness and health coaching, and I also do life coaching. So it isn't just, you know, mind, body, and spirit. You know, we'll talk about what you need and what you're trying to do and how I can help you.
Now, how you, she's, Kevin, I don't know if you know this, but she actually, when I was doing the living in, right before I was doing the living in Corona videos, I think she was trying to coach me and push me. Amy was, to do something and shoot something. And you got me to do it. You know, you pushed me, and then I actually got it done the very next day. But how do you keep your motivation when you don't have people like that around you pushing you?
Honestly, it's like the ocean. It comes and goes in waves. I'm not going to lie to you and be like, I'm 100% driven all the time. Like, I have to say, like, I got this injury and it was a little bit of a setback. So I've watched a lot of Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, I go through, but, you know, there's things that I want. And there's certain, like, with the whole coaching program with KK, okay? So she I'm going to teach this to you. It's called scripting. This is the newest thing that I've been doing, and it's awesome. And what it is you sit down in the morning, and you write out your day like it already happened. Okay. So I would write, like, oh, I had the best workout. I worked out every single muscle group. I did my morning routine. I was focused. I was on purpose. I was centered. I had my mission going on. I mean, I went to physical therapy. I came back. I had an amazing show with Danny. Like, it was totally on the spot. Everybody loved it. You know, I submitted myself for a bunch of jobs. I have a bunch of auditions coming in. Like, you know, like, you manifest and you create and you put things in there that you want to happen that maybe haven't happened yet, but as if they did happen. And you're opening yourself up to the universe, to those energies, and you're bringing those energies into you. It's part of the law of attraction. It's part of manifestation. It's part of focusing. Like Joseph McClendon, he had this. I was watching him the other day, and he was talking about breathe, smile, look, and celebrate. Oh, I can't believe so you have to remember to breathe. When people start breathing shallow, that's when you're not getting enough oxygen in, and that creates depression and anxiety. So you need to breathe more. You want to smile, because when you literally do this, the physicality changes your emotional state and how you feel. Like Tony Robbins is all about emotions and changing your physical state. It's like a scientific thing.
Right.
Breathe, you smile, right, right. Look. You look to see where you want to go, what you're focused on multiple times during the day, and then you celebrate. You celebrate the small things along with the big things. And when you do that, on a regular basis, it keeps you focused.
It becomes a habit.
It's where you look and where you focus. You know, is the glass half full? Is it half empty?
Awesome. All right. So you're going to stay on for this next segment, correct? You have time?
Yep. I have time.
Beautiful. All right. So again, let's show where can they find you again?
Instagram, Amy_Zeal. There it is.
Perfect. All right. And believe me, she's a great coach. She coached me a little bit, and she's always a positive influence. And we're always happy to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I love being here.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So let's do this segment.
Yay. Boom.
What are your favorite college party flicks?
Hello. How's everyone doing?
What's up?
Things are well. We're back at work. So it's like pretty stressful around here, but you wouldn't know it in the old casual video store. The end. Good advice, Ms. Zeal, if I may say. I'm a huge Tony Robbins fan. So some of the things you were touching upon, I was like, yep, 100%. That said, we're here to talk about college flicks. And I got to tell you, this was Susanna's request. And I had one or two of these movies on my horizon. But once she brought it up, I'm like, let's do it. So we're going to get right into it. Because as management always talks to me after the show, I run too long.
That's not true.
You always say that, but then I have receipts. I can show people. Susanna's got the screenshots of, actually, it's just the screenshots of me super drunk hours later, like, oh, my bitch. Anyway, kidding, kind of. All right, so we're going to get into Back to School, which, by the way, this is in no particular order. These are just fun party flicks, whatever floats your boat, check them out. We're just celebrating them. Has anybody seen this classic?
Yes, amazing. Absolutely. Amazing.
I think you would dig it if you like Rodney Dangerfield, or you like an early Robert Downey Jr., or you like Oingo Boingo, or Sally Kellerman. There's just a lot of people in this. It's a lot of fun. Rodney Dangerfield, long story short, is a self-made millionaire who's never graduated high school. And his son is thinking about dropping out of college. So he wants to set a good example. And his wife just cheated on him. He's like, you know, I'm out. So he checks himself into college.
Yep.
Comedy ensues.
And the funniest thing about it is he's a diving coach, and he can do amazing dives himself.
Yes, I remember. Yes, I don't know if he was a coach. He might have been coaching his son. His backstory, perhaps. But yeah, he was known for the triple Lindy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, his son was on the diving team, right?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. Keith Gordon from Christine, Stephen King's Christine, I think 83. But you are absolutely right. Yeah, the diving aspect was a big angle of it. But it's a good, fun film if you're interested. And it's kind of like a fish out of water, but a fish in water. Check it out. It's
Sam fun. Innocent is the best in that.
Oh, 100%. How can I not? You know, that's I always say this in every segment. God bless you, Kevin. Sam Kinison is a hell of a teacher. God rest his soul.
Yep.
We're moving. I know everyone's seen this next one, so we'll go to the next bit. Old School.
Yeah.
On this segment, I'm going to get a movie that you've seen. I guarantee it. Old School's badass. These guys basically want to relive their glory years, and they get a frat house. And it's almost like a post-quarter life. It's like a third life crisis. You know? Yep. They're in their 30s and such. But they get a frat house, and it goes off the fucking rails. Pardon my language. And it's funny. And I got to say, there's a scene with Sean William Scott. He's like I think there's like a petting zoo at a party at one of the, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was a children's party and they had like a donkey or something like that.
Yeah. And he can't wait to trank it, right? Because he's like, if this thing gets out of fucking order, I'm going to trank this thing. And Will Ferrell, who's drunk, is naturally the one to trank himself. And it's just Sean Williams, Scott neck. With the mullet, just doing his thing. Just it's perfect. Check it out. A lot of fun. Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell, Luke Wilson, as you can see. The end. Moving forward. Awesome. Now, of course, I'm going to have to revisit this one. Revenge of the Nerds. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
No.
All right. I gotcha. So this was on the sex comedy segment. But like, I mean, it's a college, you know, film. Hello. And it's a party film. These guys get basically bullied by the big campus or big fraternity on campus, and they have to like climb back to like mentally outwit them to get their self-respect back. And spoiler alert, they totally do it. And every segment that has Revenge of the Nerds, I got to give a little shout out to the Standee. Production value, boom. So yeah, you know, we've talked about this before. There's, you know, a scene or two that's a little like questionable in today's society, but like, you can recognize it, that it's from 84, and it's just a straightforward piece of comedy from then. Relax. Enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
Moving forward.
It's a great movie.
All right, PCU, anybody?
No.
Yes.
This movie is the most relevant fucking movie today, but it came out in, I think, like, 94. Anybody? So, Kevin, have you seen this?
Yeah, no, doesn't it have
David Spade?
The guy who was the dean in Old School, isn't he in this one, PCU, or am I wrong?
I'm gonna look at the credits because God bless. I don't know, to be honest. It's probably been 15 years since I've seen this. I've seen it a handful of times. I'm getting some notes here. God bless.
Yeah, Jeremy Piven.
Oh, he's not the dean. He's like the fucking animal in this film.
No, but he was the dean in Old School.
Fair. You're correct. Work. I'm getting notes here. And these are really good notes, by the way. I wish everybody can see it in homeland. PCU is basically, I think it's Port Chester University, so it's a creative title. And it's basically as politically correct as a college as you can get. And this is, again, 94. So they were ahead of their time. And there was, like, one, like, cool spot to have any kind of freedom, and it's like the pit. And it's this area where just people fuck around and eat pizza and curse and sex, rock and roll, and so on and so forth. And of course, they're trying to destroy the pit. It's almost the plot of Animal House, but within PCU. And I watched it. I gotta tell you, I watched half of this a year ago when a friend came over, and I couldn't believe how current it was. I cannot. So if you're looking for a movie that's probably going to offend you, that's the one right there. The end. Do you have any memories of this in terms of the political correctness and how they were like poking fun of it? I mean, this is a Hollywood movie. I was very surprised even then. Now it should be probably canceled and wiped off the face of the planet, if I may. But let me hear your thoughts.
You know, I barely remember it. It was just one of those movies that I wanted to see because it looked like Animal House. And I remember that. And I can't believe Jon Favreau was in that. Man, that guy's been around a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, he came right up in it. All right, take it for you, Will. Okay, moving forward. Van Wilder.
Ah, okay.
Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to send these films to you. Van Wilder is basically a rated R Ferris Bueller in college, if I may. Some might say it's blasphemy, but it's kind of the vibe they were going for. In short, Ryan Reynolds meets a journalist who kind of exposes he's afraid to graduate. He's been there for a while. And there's a lot of like antics in this movie, as are all these movies. But this is where it starts getting gross. Okay. There's a dog that's never been neutered. So the balls are very full. Okay. So this is a college, you know, it's a college party movie. So of course we're going to go here. So of course there's an antagonist in the film, you know, like who's trying to, if I recall correctly, he's just like, he's a dick. He's like the highbrow, frat guy, preppy dude, possibly, if I recall correctly, courting the journalist that is talking to, doing a scoop on Van Wilder. But his favorite thing is eclairs. So what they do is they drain the dog's balls, hook up the eclairs, and then they totally deliver it to him, and he just goes to town. He can't have enough of these things. Okay.
Oh, so my God.
Van Wilder, four stars.
Who couldn't have enough? The bad guy?
Yeah, okay. That guy. Hold on. That guy. Yeah. I mean, it gets like a little much. But at the end of the day,
That's biological weaponry.
100%. That is a felony.
It's a convention, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm sure it was butter. It was movie magic, okay? Moving forward. this is going off the rails here. Dead Man on Campus. I got to say, this is one of my favorite college films. Under the fucking radar and underrated. Came out in 98, I think the summer of 98. Has anybody seen this movie starring Zach Morris and Tom Everett Scott?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Highly recommend it. Totally funny movie. Basically, if I recall correctly, actually I should have seen it 100 fucking times. Zach Morris is basically kind of the Ferris Bueller-ish. He's like the straight guy. They're roommates. This guy is starting to fail, and he's going to lose a scholarship. And then they realize there's a tradition at this school, not a tradition, but like a loophole rule, that if a roommate commits suicide because of the emotional trauma of the roommate, they can in no way be expected to continue their work. So they basically get a passing grade for that year. So what they try to do is, since he's failing and he can give a fuck less about school, he's been there for like 6 years. Since he's failing, they decide to get a roommate, a troubled one. So they go through all these lists of like, they break into the fucking record, the school record files, and find like the most psychotic college, you know, students. And then they bring them in as their roommates, one by one by one by one, trying to get them and push them to suicide.
Wow.
It's hilarious. I mean, the premise, people might be like, hey, I don't know about that. There's actually not a mean bone in this body of work, even though it's about what they're trying to do, but it's fucking great. And it's a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, the movie is saved, not saved, but it's a home run by the next guy. It's the Auckland Monroe.
There are families that treat life insurance that way.
Oh, for sure. Sadly, yes. So yeah, there's an actor named Lachlan Monroe. I think we have a few photos. He was in Scary Movie. This guy, oh, I yeah. think he goes by Cliff in the movie. Steals the whole movie away from everybody. Totally funny. I can't like stress how funny enough this guy is. Again, his Dead energy. Man on Campus. Check it out.
His energy reminds me of a young Gary Busey.
I could see that. He's probably more handsome. God bless Gary Busey, if I may. I mean, you know, to teach their own, but like, you know, Gary Busey's like a striking, like, holy fuck, that's a character right there. Yeah. Right? Am I wrong?
When Gary was young, he wasn't that crazy looking.
No, I know. Pre-motorcycle accident. Yeah, he was like a guy. But like, this guy's a little cleaner around the edges. But yeah, no diss to Gary Busey. But I will say, it's a badass movie. Zach Morris is hilarious in it. It totally works. It's fun. The end. Anybody on the next one? Rules of Attraction.
Oh, yeah.
I got one.
Yep.
I mean, this is a pretty big cast right here. We got Jessica Biel, with the fucking James Vanderbeek, that guy. What's that chick's name? Shannon Solomon. Remember her? Is that her name from back in the day? Early 2000s? She was in 40 Days and 40 Nights. First night, I believe. I guess
I had a huge crush on Jessica Biel.
You know, I actually worked on a short film that she produced in Acton and got to hang out with her for a little bit. She's super cool. This is back in like, 2006. Wally was with me. We got a bunch of photos. Yeah, it was awesome. She's super cool. Yeah, I went to the rap party. Anyway, this is a very dysfunctional college film. So it's not really a here we go. We got some notes. Kip Pardue. Remember Kip Pardue from Remember the Titans? Anybody? That movie's badass. Man, I feel like I'm getting crickets on this segment. This college party segment.
That's good. You're educating.
Sorry?
You're educating us. That's good.
God bless you.
Kate Bosworth, too. I had a crush on her, too.
Of course you did. Sure. and then Ian Somerhalder, who's rad. He actually made a short film with Ian Bahar called, it was Roommates, the series. Short film segment he was doing. He was also in Life as a House with Kevin Kline. Anybody? Great fucking movie. If you haven't seen that, please stop what you're doing. Watch it. It's a tearjerker, but very good. Anyway, this is a very dysfunctional film. It's a Bret Easton Ellis novel adapted and directed by Roger Avery, who's one of the writers of Pulp Fiction. The other writer was Quentin Tarantino. Okay, wow. Big shoes to fill. So I don't know if he was trying to be clever boy on some of his direction, but after Pulp Fiction hits and somebody gives you a shot, all eyes on you. Okay. Yeah. So it is good. It's very dysfunctional moving forward. Now I know everyone's seen this one.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh no. Yeah. Okay. So what are your thoughts on this? Cause I just got an important text message. I'm going to look at this while Danny talks to me. Cool. Okay. Bam. I read it.
Hysterical movie. And I mean, they got so many funny people in this movie. I mean, incredibly funny people in this movie. And I always loved Amy Smart. What a great actress. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You know, so when this movie came out, sorry, she got a little bit of a lag in the internet.
He's frozen.
Okay. When this movie came out, I was working at a theater at the time in 2000. It was called Studio Movie Grill. And at the time, the concept was very fresh and new. It was watching first run films when you can serve dinner and drinks, alcoholic drinks, whatever drinks to people. Okay. Now it's everywhere and nobody gives a shit. It's like, whatever. You expect it. At the time, it was unheard of. And not to get too off into the rabbit hole, but when Star Wars came out, Lucasfilm said, sorry, we're not hooking up Studio Movie Grill. We are not allowing the distraction of servers serving food and especially drinks to impair the audience to ruin the effect of Star Wars. Now they don't give a fuck. Every diner, movie theater gets Star Wars movies. But even though, you know.
Who's the skinny guy in this movie? The really skinny one? What's his name again?
DJ Qualls.
I've hung out with him so many times at karaoke.
Oh, nice. Oh, well, I want to, let's go into that real quick before we go into this segment, because I do want to wrap up my trailer story with the theater I worked on, but Talk to me.
Well, he's just a super nice guy. You know, everybody who knows me knows before the pandemic, I was doing karaoke every week. I loved it. And this one bar, he would hang out there. And we just got to talking. He's super sweet, super nice guy. Very down to earth, very friendly to everybody. And
so what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
So when I was working at this theater at the time, all I saw was the trailer. And I got to tell you, it's one of the most perfect trailers I've seen. And that's saying a lot because, you know, these trailer companies can like really bake up a trailer for people, even if the movie sucks. Yeah. And so if you're not seeing the trailer, take a look. It's artistic as shit. It punches. There's ska music. It's badass. Basically, Brecken Meyer is having a long distance relationship with his significant other. I think she's in Austin and he's in Ithaca, New York. And so they're trying to make it work as they're in different colleges. And Amy Smart comes in, they have a frat party night, and they make a sex tape. And since Brecken Meyer has been sending his acoustic videos to Austin, he accidentally sends the sex tape with Amy Smart and him to his girlfriend in Austin. So hence road trip. This was inspired, Todd Phillips is the director, writer, director. It was inspired by the road trip in Animal House. And Ivan Reitman actually produced this because he liked the works that the short film, I believe, that Todd Phillips had done before. So it had all the ducks in the row for this to be successful and the shepherding for this to be what it is. And it totally works. It's totally fun. A lot of good set pieces. I can go on and on and on. Sean William Scott is top form. But I will say, since gross out comedies are kind of the thing in college flicks, this scene right here, right there, is to be noted. So DJ Qualls, that guy in the Atari shirt, he orders some French toast, but he can't have sugar, okay, because he's got health issues. So is that Horatio Sanz, I think? I think it is.
Yeah.
So he takes it back. He takes the French toast back, and he just looks at it for a minute. If you look in the distance, you can see DJ Qualls chilling in his Atari shirt right there, just like, waiting patiently for his sugar to be taken off. So this guy proceeds to fuck with his food harder than any movie I've ever seen, okay? There's a moment where he puts one of the French breads in his crotch, and then he throws the other one, and he catches it in his waistband of his underwear, okay? And if that wasn't enough, he walks back to the table, refreshes their coffee, farts on the French toast. They don't know it's in his trousers. Farts on the French toast, says, excuse me, and then walks back. Basically, he delivers this thing right there, whatever that is. And DJ Qualls eats it and says it's good.
He had his mouth full.
I think compared to the eclairs from earlier, it might be okay.
It's a cousin. It's biologically tampered with. It's a felony. Okay, that's all I know.
It's a funny movie.
But sure. I will say this gross out segment has more charm and comedy to it, in my opinion. Comedy is subjective. Than Van Wilder. Van Wilder is just like super disgusting. At that scene, it's just like, I mean, you like to see the comeuppance, but it's like, again, it's a felony. Moving forward, Euro Trip, the sequel to Road Trip. Anybody?
Yep. Saw it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
This guy gets dumped, goes on a European vacation. The end. And there's a lot of like funny comedy sketches. Let's move forward. These are guilty pleasures, but there's nothing wrong about these films. House Bunny, anybody?
She's great. She's so great.
Amy. Okay. Yeah, she's a Playboy bunny who gets kicked out of the Playboy mansion, and she's looking for residence. And she posts up in a sorority house as the den mother. I thought Beverly D'Angelo's in that. It's been a hot minute since I've seen it. In fact, the last time I saw it was probably 2009, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. It all rests on her. She's comedically golden. I believe Colin Hanks is in it. Rumor Willis. It's basically she takes a band of awkward teens, you know, late teens, under her wing. To, you know, break them out of their cells, so on and so forth. But it's fun. It's a fun watch. The end. Last but not least, anybody? I know you guys have, but
Animal what?
Ah, curse.
Are you, you're kidding, right? You're
Animal
kidding.
House.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Animal House. I didn't.
That's okay. It's a little tiny font for sure. This is the creme de la creme in terms of college party flicks.
Absolutely.
I don't care. Yeah. In the next 1,000 years, if I could live that long, I would die on this hill. This is the best. I don't care whatever comes after.
Was That's it also it. When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
it's a perfect film. It's the worst. Delta is the worst fraternity around, and Dean Wormer has designs to smash them down and get rid of them. They're on what, double secret probation. Yes. Yeah, it's got a perfect cast. Everybody's on their A game. It's a 1978 movie of a 1962 college period. It's beautifully shot, well done. And can't recommend it enough. That was a short segment. That's all I got.
That might John be Belushi. John Belushi.
John Belushi, yes. In that movie was so incredible.
Agreed.
I mean, he's walking down the stairs, and this hippie dude with feathered hair parted in the middle, and he's got a cheesy mustache, and there's girls sitting around, and he's singing. I think he was singing like, "My life is a bowl of cherries. That grows, grows, grows." It is like, and all the girls are like, oh, like that.
But at least Belushi waited for a second. He listened and he evaluated. And then
he's standing on the stairs and he listens. He just grabs the guitar and goes, smash, smash, smash. Just destroys the guitar, puts it back in his hand and goes, sorry.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's a perfect.
Sorry. It was just like
perfect film. In fact, National Lampoon's first feature. So they peaked with that movie.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
100%. No disrespect to Vacation. What's interesting is I find Vacation, and it's, again, it's subjective. It's some fucking guy with videos who likes movies. And so blah, blah, blah. Vacation seems dated to me. But I love the film for what it is. I love the film. Animal House doesn't seem dated at all, even though it's a period piece film from 1978 to 62.
Yeah,
it's odd. I don't know. It's like one is forgiven and the other is like
A little trivia. I don't remember.
Kevin's got something. Sorry, if you don't mind.
I think that era of Belushi is the perfect combination of person, type of movie, and the time that the movie came out.
Agreed.
That the Blues Brothers, that little era where Belushi was just at the peak of his powers. I don't know if that can be beat by any other actor in that kind of a time.
Shout out to Landis.
Yep.
You know, John Landis, director. I totally agree. Totally agree. Danny, please forgive me for interrupting. What were you going to say?
No worries. I was just going to say a little bit of trivia. I remember hearing this story, but I don't know exactly how it occurred. But some of the main guys from the movie they actually crashed a fraternity party. Because they were doing the movie and they wanted to really be in the experience and they were on the campus or whatever. And they wound up getting a fight and they wound up, they came back bruised and beaten the next day. So
they're method actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to look it up. But anyway,
I will ask before I close up the segment, cause it's shorter than usual, if I may admit.
Awesome.
That's your call in the notes tomorrow. Amy and Susanna, are there any college films? You know what? I feel like I skipped American Pie too. I skipped American Pie too.
Oh yeah, you did.
My fault. Excuse me, everybody. Forgive me. I asked you guys a question and then I realized I skipped one. American Pie too. They're basically all in college, but it's the summer. So they rent a beach house in Michigan. And it works. I almost like this more than the original. And there's a couple like real hijinksy set pieces because they're painting the house. And there's these two gals that live there. And they're like, oh, we think they're lesbians, but they're not.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they are, whatever the case. So they become like just like this dumb like male like spy movie. And they're like spying on them. It's totally fun.
They got stuck in the room by mistake. The girls came home.
Yes.
And they got stuck, so they had to hide.
Yeah, and then they got discovered.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's totally fun. So American Pie is on the list. Now, forgive me, because I actually forgot that one. And Susanna, God bless her, she just rolled with the punches of my forgetfulness. Amy, do you have any college flicks, not to put you on the spot, that you recall that you enjoy, perhaps? And there's no wrong answer if there's none that come to mind.
I can't think of any.
Susanna, you're next. Sorry?
I said I went to college. I did the whole sorority thing. So that was like movie enough.
Fair. Fair.
Fair. Yeah. Yep.
One that resonates with me is Neighbors, where they actually live next door to the frat house.
You know,
with a baby.
I actually neglected that one, unfortunately. Oh. That's a no brainer. That's a great movie. The first one's awesome. Let's talk about Neighbors for a second.
Yeah, Neighbors was good. Before Zac Efron was, I think he had just done a High School Musical or something like that. I didn't even know who the guy was. Right, I'm at this event and I'm catering it. I'm with a catering company, and like everybody was there. Travolta was there, Christopher Walken was there, and I'm walking by Zac Efron, and all of a sudden this big guy comes up and he goes like this, you know,
his handler or guard, yeah.
And I'm just picking up plates off the table. And I looked at him. I was like, what the hell? I don't even know this kid, right? And Zach looks at me and he goes, and he shakes his head like, sorry.
I think I just thought of a college movie. I'm not sure. Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
That is.
The entire series.
I love Pitch Perfect. Yes.
But that's not the raunchy comedies that we're doing for this.
No, but it's a college.
Yeah. It is
100%.
The question
correct.
Wasn't about raunchy comedies; it was about college party flicks.
Is Pitch Perfect a party flick?
These are, I mean,
yes,
what kind of party doesn't have?
There's lots of party.
If it doesn't have raunch, it's lame.
Parties.
Yeah, Pitch Perfect is a absolute well received
college party movies you're talking about, but it
yeah
is
when like- I when I think of Pitch Perfect, I think of course there's some party scenes, but I think it's at the end of the day it's a competition. It's more like a Bring It On to me when I think about it. Am I wrong?
Right.
Mm-hmm. No,
yeah, it's
right.
A super competitive.
Yeah.
You know, and rightly so. I mean, that's the whole plot, but. What was the other one we were talking about? Oh yeah, Neighbors was fucking great. Neighbors was very good. In fact, you're absolutely correct. Zac Efron was on my radar in terms of like, yeah, he's a Disney guy. He does High School the Musical, but in terms of like somebody I'd watch, I mean, at the time I was like 39 when the movie came out. Like I had no business watching that shit.
This is where he changed from Disney character to 100%. Super hot character.
That was his transition.
Fucking hilarious. He was hilarious. Like to act opposite Rogan and even steal the scenes from Rogan at times. Like,
well, he's shirtless most of the time.
fucking comedically. Come on now. Not Abercrombie and Fitchy. But the point is like, you know, he was standing his ground and the screen was shared very equally. And sometimes, you know, they bested each other, but that chemistry that they had was very good. The first one was awesome. So, and awesome. Rose Byrne was best. How you doing back there, Craig? Good to see you.
Spotlight. Hey. Craig's here.
Hey, guys.
Do you have a college party movie, by the way, that you're interested in? Anybody? What do you think, Craig?
I did do a party movie at college. Well, like a school movie. It was called Senior Skip Day. Check it out.
Oh, killer. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Senior Skip Day. I will check it.
Yeah, Larry Miller, Norm MacDonald, and a bunch of crazy kids.
Oh, badass. You know, I actually almost threw in Accepted. Has anybody ever heard of that one?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I watched that last week with my kids. Yes.
Justin Long, and they do a fake college. That's actually a solid piece of work, you know? Yeah, so that's all I got. Thank you again. Good night.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yep.
Thank you, Amy, for being on the show. Thanks to Bernadette. Thanks to Bernadette, Kevin, and Susanna. The team, the unbeatable team with Anthony, all of us together. Great show tonight. Thank you guys, all of you. And please donate, guys. Look at the bottom of the screen right there. anchor.fm/the Danny McDermott Show/support. And tell your friends. And we got a lot of cool guests coming up. So please stay tuned. And we're on 11 different platforms now, Susanna?
Yes.
Yes, 11 different platforms. Including Spotify and iTunes, and I got a creepy man on my shoulder. So thank you guys so much.
He's been taking pictures all night, Danny.
Good night. Thanks for coming and thanks for watching.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Nope. Blah, 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 blah.